You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In June, the Service Employees International Union held a convention in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The choice of San Juan was not accidental. Not only is the SEIU the most Latin-friendly union in America, it is hoping to expand into that area. The target is 40,000 teachers. The SEIU would like to replace the current Militant Teachers Union as the largest labor organization on the island. There's a problem, however. The teachers want to keep their own union. Steve Early is an author and journalist who's been covering this struggle, and he's joined me by phone from Boston. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Peter. Good to be with you.
Likewise. Why is the SEIU trying to replace the teachers' union?
Well, the SEIU already represents cafeteria workers and other service employees in the island-wide public school system in Puerto Rico, and unfortunately decided last winter to take advantage of the fact that the 40-year-old Teachers Federation was temporarily disabled as a result of an illegal strike that it waged for 10 days. It was decertified. It lost its bargaining rights, even though it made gains during the strike. And SEIU decided that it would utilize a close relationship with the then governor of the island to move in and replace the FMPR, the Teachers Federation, as the bargaining representative for 40,000 public school teachers.
That's extraordinary. Now, I understand, as you say, that the government decertified the teachers' union. Can you tell us how and why that happened?
Well, in 1999, largely as a result of the intervention of unions, public sector unions like the Service Employees and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, two U.S.-based unions, Puerto Rican public sector labor law was changed, and Law 45 was enacted, which granted greater public sector union bargaining rights. But the quid pro quo was that public sector workers, including teachers, lost the right to strike. And this is very draconian legislation. If public employees strike, as FMPR members did last winter, their union is subject to decertification. They can be fired. Very serious penalties can be imposed. And FMPR has always opposed this law. And they took a very brave step when they voted to strike last winter and were, in fact, decertified by the government even before their 10-day strike began.
So why did the teachers feel compelled to take that drastic step of going into strike?
Well, there were some very important issues involved in the stalled contract negotiations that had been going on with the Department of Education for 2 years prior to the strike last February. The government at the time was threatening to privatize schools. The schools were underfunded in very poor condition. Starting salaries for teachers in Puerto Rico are still less than $20,000 a year. Top pay is only $2,600 a month. And when teachers struck, they made it clear they were not just striking around their own pay and benefit issues, but also on behalf of the larger community and against privatization of the schools. And their strike had enormous public support from parents and students, from other labor organizations. And that's one of the reasons why the teachers the Federation has maintained the support of teachers and were able to conduct this vote or participate in this vote in October, where the majority of teachers rejected representation by the SEIU and are continuing to hold out for the return and certification, recertification of the FMPR.
Yes, I'll get back to that. So the SEIU held a convention in San Juan. What actually happened there?
Well, they definitely used the convention to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on advertising to kind of burnish their image among Puerto Ricans. They featured as their welcoming speaker the then governor of the island, Governor Acevedo Villa, who just was defeated for re-election earlier this month, not surprisingly, because he faces 20 years in jail and a multi-count indictment for tax invasion and campaign finance violations and various conspiracy charges. But he was trotted out as a great friend of SEIU, despite the fact that just a few months earlier he had been in battle with the teachers' union, tried to break their strike, and had decertified their union. So it was a pretty tawdry alliance of SEIU and a discredited politician who's now been defeated.
And so was there, how were protests about that convention?
Well, the FMPR, the Teachers Federation, organized protests. They have set up picket lines around the SEIU convention at the San Juan Convention Center. SEIU, with the help of its government backers, including the governor, surrounded the convention area with hundreds of police, including the riot police, who had been called out during the teacher's strike. And there was quite a bit of scuffling, some arrests, some beatings. I mean, it was an unbelievable scene to see a union convention conducted under security conditions worthy of a meeting of the World Trade Organization somewhere.
Yes, it certainly sounds reminiscent of that. Now, you mentioned about the teachers' vote on whether or not to join the SEIU, and that they disagreed with that. Can you tell us a bit more about how that vote played out?
Yes. Well, the teachers' federation, prior to their strike, had full bargaining rights for a bargaining unit of about 40,000 public school teachers. Had dues checkoff. When it was decertified, it lost all of that, but continued to hand collect dues from a group of about 12,000 teachers. And it tried to get a place on the ballot in October, when the Puerto Rican Labor Relations Commission ordered a new vote on who should represent teachers going forward in that bargaining unit. SEIU's, the union backed by SEIU, was on the ballot. The FMPR was ruled off the ballot, so had to conduct a vote no campaign. And by a margin of more than 18,000 votes to less than 15,000, teachers voted no because they were denied the opportunity to restore the bargaining rights of their incumbent union. They'll now have to wait another year to get another such vote, but this was such a decisive defeat of the SEIU that prospects look very good for the FMPR being recertified a year from now.
Now, was there a lot of support from outside the country for the effort of the teachers there?
The teachers have gotten support from various unions in the U.S. Who were outraged by SEIU's behavior, most notably the California Nurses Association, a group affiliated with the AFL-CIO. They have provided financial support for the FMPR. Other local solidarity groups in San Francisco and New York have raised funds for the teachers. Some of that solidarity work started back during last winter's teachers' strike. And there's ongoing efforts to support the FMPR because they're a model union. They're militant, they're rank-and-file oriented, they're very feisty, they have term limits for the leadership, the president of the union makes no more than the highest paid member. It's a kind of democratic rank-and-file union that we should have more of in the United States.
That's quite extraordinary. And so, like, leaving aside their tactics at the convention and the like, are there other differences between the approach and orientation of these two unions?
Well, I think it's really about a clash between a union that's bottom up, that's member controlled, that's militant, that tries to build alliances with the community, and a Washington, D.C. based union that tries to swoop in, use its much bigger treasury to cut a deal with a corrupt politician and basically install a company union. The union backed by SEIU is closely aligned with the Teachers Association of Puerto Rico, which is the managers' union. It represents principals and school superintendents. And by aligning itself with, in effect, the union of public school bosses, SEIU discredited itself right from the start. I mean, there were members of this SEIU-backed group that were on the management bargaining team when the FNPR was still trying to negotiate a contract a year ago, prior to its strike last winter. So I think teachers have said they want to be represented by an organization of their own, not one dominated by their supervisors and principals and managers.
So how will the teachers proceed from here?
Well, under Puerto Rican labor law, they are able to continue to operate, the FNPR, as what's called a bona fide organization. They collect voluntary dues from about 12,000 members. They're able to lobby and represent teachers individually. There is no formal collective bargaining relationship with the school department, and that will take recertification in a future election to achieve once again. But they are very much still functioning as a union at the school level, have a very strong shop steward system, and again, that model of functioning is one that is worthy of emulation elsewhere.
Well, thanks very much for sharing this story with me. It's very interesting indeed.
Appreciate the chance to be on the show, and I know that Canadian trade unionists will appreciate this because there's a history of political tensions not only between Puerto Rican trade unionists but Canadians as well, with some of the misbehavior of so-called international unions based in Washington, D.C.
Indeed there is. Thank you. I've been talking with Steve Early. Steve is an author and journalist, and his forthcoming book is entitled Embedded with Organized Labor, Journalistic Reflections on the Class War at Home.